There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network from Learfield. Straight from the 734, it's the Eastern Insider Podcast.
Presented by Foaling Warehouse, Ipsy, Ann Arbor.
Your chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all. Greg Steiner and Alex Jewell.
Monday following a busy home weekend of EMU Athletics. Alex Jewell, you're still here because the wind, it certainly had a chance to blow us away, but we weathered through and persevered.
It was opening weekend for baseball, a tough series for them against what many consider a top 25 team in the country, Greg, and Ball State. They showed a lot of signs of good play, a couple of tight games. Most importantly, though, a lot of fans out at Oestrykes Stadium. Thank you if you were one of those that made it out this weekend. It was cold at times. It was windy at times. It was beautiful and sunny at times. But no matter what time or inning it was, there just seemed to be a lot of people out there. A lot of the pooches back, of course, as well. So it was good to be at home for baseball this weekend. And a lot of other sports still going on, Greg. It's spring. We keep rolling on. We know that basketball's done. Of course, we still have the Final Four for both men and women coming up. But we're just getting started in terms of the spring sports slate. And there's going to be a strong finish over the next couple of months as we continue on with this calendar year.
Certainly so. A tough one for EMU baseball, as we mentioned, but a lot of things to consider. The Ball State Cardinals, if you looked at the rankings today, they are the number 26 team in the country, according to College Baseball America. Eastern hung with them in game one, gave them a shot again in game number three, and had leads in both, and unfortunately not able to hold on.
Yeah, couldn't hold on, and there was some little things in each game, Greg, that really made it slip away from Eastern Michigan. But all things considered, you're 4-5 in the MAC. You're right in that grouping, a game or so out of that fourth place where you need to be to get into the tournament. There's a lot of baseball left. The thing is, now you have a game tomorrow at Oakland, a midweek game. Sometimes those are, in a way,
trapped.
Yeah, they're trap games. But I think in this case for Eastern Michigan, it also can be a get-right game, right? And that's no disrespect to Oakland. They've got 8 wins on the season. They're 8-13. Good program. Always tough for Eastern Michigan. But sometimes if you're on a win streak, for example, in the MAC, you're like, oh, I don't want to go play this midweek, waste pitching, all that kind of stuff. But for Eastern Michigan right now on a 4-game slide, still at a 10-10 record, the season's not lost or anything like that. Go out, take care of business tomorrow, get your bats going again, and then go down to Ohio for a 3-game weekend set this weekend and try to get back on track versus the Bobcats team, who's been putting up a lot of runs as of late.
Eagles have been putting up runs in a lot of ways. They're led by 2 Toledo transfers. Matt Kirk on the year continues to pound the baseball. He's hitting .377. Josh Cross, the other Toledo transfer, hitting .333. Corley Taylor, also above .300. Cole Wilcox and Taylor Hopkins there as well. And Glenn Miller hitting above .300 still. So solid weekend for them offensively, solid pitching as well. Saw that from Thomas House, as well as the strong back-to-back performances from Luke Russo, one in a relieving role, one in a starting role, where he strikes out 8, equaling the team best in that total. Russo right now, 30 innings of work, has a 3-1 mark and a nice ERA of 3.86. But most impressively, you look at those strikeout numbers, 39 Ks, 10 base on balls.
He's been really good this year. The stuff has been electric. Don't miss your chance to come out and see him and some of the baseball team as early as not this weekend, but the following weekend against Miami. Easter weekend, it will be at O'Strike Stadium. So make sure you get out and enjoy that as well. But Greg, since we last took the air, there's been some other events that have happened with Eastern Michigan as well. Track and field was in Raleigh, North Carolina this past week. Thursday through Saturday, they ran at the Raleigh Relays, which is one of the nation's most prolific track and field events each year. 7 top 10 finishes for Eastern Michigan, 9 personal records. So congratulations to all those who hit those marks. You can read full recaps from the days of the event on emueagles.com. Lacrosse also had a pair of matches. They welcomed Marquette in, who's a really good Big East program, on Friday and took the loss 5-18 in that game. So a tough one. But on Sunday, they really bounced back nicely. A 1-goal loss to Butler. They lost 13-14 in Indianapolis. We mentioned what happened in baseball already. Also want to give a big shout out to tennis. A tough match against Western Michigan on Friday. But Greg, they were able to pick up a big victory yesterday over Bowling Green. They won the match 6-1. So for those that don't know, tennis in college, 7 points available. You play 3 doubles matches. Best 2 out of 3 wins you 1 point, and then 6 singles matches, all worth a point. Eastern Michigan won 6 points yesterday. That's their highest total in a match this season. They picked up their first MAC win. It was their first conference victory since April of last year. And I just want to read this so I make sure I get it correct. There's the six-point margin of victory was the best against a MAC opponent for this program since the 2018 season. And it was the best against a MAC opponent at home since 2017. So tennis right now, don't look now, 4-3 record. They've done a really nice job. Steve Schramm in his first year has led this team to a 3-1 home record. So really good kudos to them. There's a lot of good things happening with the tennis program, and they deserve some shout out for what they've been able to do.
This week in store sees Eastern Michigan women's golf. They're in action right now down in Stockbridge, Georgia. They're at the Georgia State Invitational both on Monday and Tuesday. Alex mentioned baseball at Oakland on Tuesday. And then track will be down in Austin, down at the Texas Relays this weekend. They start as early as Wednesday with some of their preliminary events, and then also go to Texas State in San Marcos as well this week. As you see, then it will also feature tennis back in Kalamazoo. Baseball, as Alex mentioned, at Ohio, and then lacrosse will be in Detroit this weekend on Sunday. It's also the capper is gymnastics will be at the NCAA regionals. Ella Shamati will wrap up her season and try to punch her tickets to the NCAA championship this weekend in that affair. And then tennis also back at home on Sunday against Ball State. So a lighter week in terms of home events with really only one this week, but still plenty of ways for you to visit emueagles.com and follow all our teams in action, because track is just starting outdoor. Baseball starting to get in that crunch period. We know the Final Four will be this weekend, but a lot of people still plenty of ways to get your spring fix, because looking at the calendar, 62 degrees on Friday. Eagle Crest opens up 1 week from today. I know everybody's looking forward to being back outside.
They are. You know, Greg, as we continue on in this episode, I think one of the most misguided opinions around college athletics is that compliance is no fun. And so we wanted to take a stab at changing that narrative today. So Nick Smith, the director of compliance at Eastern Michigan, he is willing to join the show and take the bullets from me. I ask him about the reputation of compliance. It's all about rule following and no fun. He's got some difference of opinion. And actually, I'll tell you, a little precursor for the interview. By the time we were done, I was pretty interested in compliance. So one of those areas we try every week to bring you student athlete coaches, or sometimes somebody from a different department that you may not know a lot about. Nick Smith is a great example of that, because while you and I get to do things like this all the time, compliance, they do so much work behind the scenes to make sure that our student athletes, university, coaches, staff are protected. And so I'm excited to hear from Nick Smith.
Nick Smith, our version of Charles Barkley. The guy has an opinion on anything and everything in a lot of ways.
Yes, he does. So let's get to his opinions. We're going to take a quick timeout. Then on the other side of this break, Nick Smith, director of compliance at Eastern Michigan, he tries to dispel the narrative that his office is the least fun in town.
You already know Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan gives you access to the largest network of top doctors and hospitals. What you may not know is that with our 24-hour nurse line, online visits, whole health support, urgent care, and more, you can access the care you need whenever and wherever you need it. giving you the confidence in knowing that you're covered anytime, anywhere. We're here for it all, and always will be. Learn more at hereforitall.com.
Well, we're back on the Eastern Insider Podcast today, and I'm pleased to be joined by Director of Compliance at Eastern Michigan, Nick Smith. And let me tell you, I think compliance gets a bad rap. Everybody thinks these guys are always the rule sticklers and the not so fun people on campus. But I talk to Nick all the time. We have some good laughs. Nick, thanks for joining the show. And how true is it that the compliance people are the most uptight in the department?
It's good to be here, Alex. Uptight, I would not say. That's probably about 50-50. I would say that there's definitely a lot of other staff members and coaches that would probably be considered more uptight than compliance.
Well, to keep you, I know you're good at keeping people out of trouble. So to keep you out of trouble, I'm not going to let you name the names of coaches and staff members who you think are more uptight than you. We're going to keep that out of this conversation. Let's start, before we talk a little bit about what your role is at Eastern Michigan, let's start with you specifically, because I like people who are listening in to get to know the people they're hearing from. So tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into college athletics. And you're somebody that has a prior Eastern connection before you came back in this role.
Yeah, so I went to Central, the school up north, for my undergrad. When I was a junior, there was a couple individuals that came to our sport management association asking, you know, if anybody was interested in being an intern in compliance. At the time, I had no idea what that meant, but sounded interesting. And me and one of my great buddies who is now at LSU in the compliance department there, we were the only two to show up. And they put us to work right away. Enjoyed it. Obviously, the goal is to be an athletic director someday. And this is kind of the start that kind of started my path of being in compliance and being interested in the field. Then I came here to Eastern for my master's and graduated in 2018. In the fall of 18, I went down to Eastern Kentucky University and worked there for almost 3 years, and then was able to come back here June 1st of last year. So coming up on a year already. And yeah, so that's kind of my background and path of how I got into compliance and, you know, where I'm at right now.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the role itself, because I joked around at the start of the interview that compliance is what everybody thinks is no fun and all about the rules. And it is about rule following in a lot of ways. But for people that may not have a background with compliance, I certainly don't. Layman's terms, what is the purpose of a compliance office in a Division I college athletic department?
Yeah, it's a question we get all the time. A lot of people ask what is compliance? And the easiest way I think to describe it is we're here to serve and protect our student athletes, staff, and coaches. And that's basically in the areas of eligibility and rules. So conference rules, NCAA rules, and then same thing with eligibility, NCAA eligibility for student athletes. So that's probably the easiest way to describe it is, you know, our job is to assist and protect, even though sometimes it might come off as we're the no people, and we're doing it to, you know, obviously put ourselves as athletic department in a good situation and you know, make sure that we're all, you know, doing the right things.
You talk about being in compliance with the rules and specifically the NCAA guidelines. Is any of your job dealing with legality as you and I have it outside of the athletic department? Or is that left to the police department, all those things? You're dealing specifically with NCAA rules.
That's correct. We're just athletic conference rules, NCAA rules. When it comes to legal matters, that's the people across campus, EMU police. We don't get involved in those unless there's a situation that, you know, we need to be or part of. So we are just specific to athletics.
So if you see Nick around in public, he has no badge. You will not know that he is a compliance officer, and no, he cannot help you get out of the speeding ticket that you just got on your way, hopefully, to an Eastern Michigan sporting event so you can support our student athletes. Nick, again, we talk a lot about the rules and what you're doing to enforce them and to keep the athletic department in a good standing. You talked about ultimately trying to protect our student athletes, protect our coaches, protect our staff, protect our university. Why is it important to have the people that we do in these roles and to protect the student athletes specifically in this case? What does that do for the department on an everyday basis?
Yeah, it's important for each school. Obviously, our compliance staff, is, as you see across the country, are getting bigger and bigger, not just at the group of five, but Power Five are adding more and more people because we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can and monitoring everything that we can to help coaches, student athletes, not find their selves in a situation where they could lose time for eligibility or anything like that. And I think that's the most important, right? Student athletes have this 5-year window, well, six with COVID now, but they have a short window and it goes by quick. And, it's very important that we protect them and make sure that they don't miss any time or have any issues, or if they're, if they do have issues academically, working through them to help them out. Because at the end of the day, college goes by quick. The seasons roll in and roll out, and we don't want them to have any missed time or anything like that.
We talk a lot about the student athletes, and I talk on this podcast a lot about the role that each of our departments play in that student athlete's journey. A lot of our roles, though, start really before the student athletes get to campus. And part of that's true with you as well. How much are you doing before a student athlete ever gets to campus to help make sure that they can get to campus?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our department, there's a lot of pre-work, I would call it, before they arrive, whether it's stuff in the NCAA Eligibility Center to make sure they're a qualifier, which means to make sure they're eligible to compete right away. Amateurism, all that kind of stuff of making sure they didn't, play for pay before they get to college. Admissions, to make sure they get in school. So academics, there's tons of pre-work, athletic academically, making sure they have everything set up before they arrive here. And, let's say we're, 2023's fall of 2023's, we're already tracking them back in basically the end of fall of 22. So it's almost a 9-month process each year of getting them through, making sure they're eligible academically, getting them into school, making sure they have all the requirements there, and kind of going through their checklist before they even come move in onto campus.
I was not somebody that was blessed enough to be able to be athletic into the point where I could be a Division I college athlete. A lot of people don't get that chance. But if somebody's listening that is a potential student athlete or somebody that thinks they could be a student athlete, you talk about a lot of that pre-work, a lot of those buzzwords that if I was a student athlete or if I was in high school would kind of freak me out. What are some of the things that a prospective student athlete can be doing, whether they've already committed, whether they're not discovered yet? What are some of the things that those that are at home that want to be college athletes can be doing on an everyday basis to make sure it's easier to get themselves in to school when that time comes, and so it doesn't become a headache and become an issue with eligibility?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is reaching out to, the school that you might be already interested in or already have kind of communications with coaches, reaching out to the compliance department to kind of getting assistance. If you don't know what the eligibility center is, you can always search NCAA Eligibility Center, and there's kind of a what to know, or kind of gives you kind of step by step of, paying the fee, getting your official transcripts in, how to request amateurism, all those kind of, I guess you call it buzzwords, that can assist you with. But if you're a PSA and you're kind of starting your journey of, getting recruited and all that, that I would say the NCAA Eligibility Center is huge, or reaching out to, maybe the local school that you're in, their compliance department, to get assistance of what it means, making sure you're kind of already on top of that, instead of rushing your senior year when you're trying to graduate high school, get into college, and then you still have to do, that kind of stuff, getting ahead of it and, using those resources.
The question I have gotten asked a lot in the last year and a half or 2 years, and it's actually probably best directed to you, is, and I know we could probably do a whole podcast on this topic, so you don't have to go into too much detail. I know there's some things you probably can't talk about, but how has name, image, likeness changed the rule in compliance specifically, because it seems like from the outside, just hearing everything you've talked about, what you do on a daily basis, there's more kids than ever that could be coming into school. There's more eligibility. There's eligibility from different schools. How has all of that changed your job?
It's been crazy. I think that name, image, likeness is this weird thing for us in compliance where we explain what they can do, but then we can't be involved. So for us, it's kind of like, here you go. This is all we can do. Just be aware of this. Here's, for example, the state law in Michigan was, you know, student athletes have 7 days to report their NOI, you know, contract before they enter an agreement to the university. So that's really all we can do or be involved with, is just educating the student athletes on the state law, on, you know, whatever the NCAA comes up with, which seems to be, you know, ever changing. But it'll be interesting to see where that goes, if it goes anywhere, if anything changes with name, image, likeness, if there's, I don't know, more guardrails put up or not, or, you know, they legally can or can't. So it'll be definitely interesting.
Well, I always tell people, and correct me if I'm wrong, but NIL is one of those things that it affects an athletic department in a lot of ways, obviously, just depending on where kids are at school and what the student athletes are getting involved with. But for something that affects the department so much, the department really, to a lot of people's surprise, is not involved at all. It's really not a department thing. I think I hear a lot of people talking about, well, you know, X school is paying somebody so much, but that's not what's happening. It's deals that are being done on the outside. It's personal name, image, likeness deals. The university, from our side of things, is not involved at really in those negotiations or discussions.
That's correct. Exactly. You hit it right on, Alex. It's not anything, like I said. Compliance is negotiating on behalf of the student athletes or athletic directors, whatever. It's literally the student athlete and maybe at that particular school, local businesses, or maybe their local businesses back where that student athlete's hometown is. You hit it right on. We're not involved in any way, but the education of, hey, here's the state law, here's what we can do. And that's about it.
Okay. Now an area I know you're involved in though, again, as much as you can tell me, how much has the transfer portal affected your work on an everyday basis?
Yeah, that's ever changing. This year we started a new transfer windows. So there's a certain day, or there's a start date and an end date for the fall and spring seasons that student athletes can enter the transfer portal. That has been obviously different in the way of, you know, a lot of coaches obviously utilizing kids that are going into the portal more. So there's more stuff that, again, pre-work we have to do before that transfer even gets here, whether it's academically, whether it's admissions. So it's just adding more so where when I first started in compliance, I'm going to sound old here, but it wasn't that long ago. But when I first started, you might have, you know, on a certain team, one or two transfers, and then they got to sit out the year and whatever. And it's not as rushed. Now everything is just so much faster. There's obviously more transfers per team now, probably more transfers going out as well now than ever. And now with these new windows explaining, hey, you can't go in the portal unless you meet this certain criteria until this date. So it's really kind of just made us busier and rush, I would say, when it comes to transfers in a way that in the past it wasn't.
All right. Enough business talk. Let's real quick before we finish up, because I've given compliance such a bad rap and I came on here and I said that you're not the fun guys and all that. Tell me something about you outside of work that if somebody runs into you in the community, or if you're not sitting at your desk going through pages and pages of NCAA rules, what's something that you might be out doing for fun when you get a little time off?
Yeah. I'm not just sitting and reading the NCAA rules all day and all night, just in a dark room, you know, with glasses on. But I like to golf. I don't think I told you this before, Alex, but I'm a big movie guy. I like to, you know, read reviews of movies, get into them, find ones that, you know.
Any specific genre?
Probably action, suspense, thriller, stuff like that. My favorite movie of all time is The Dark Knight, obviously with Heath Ledger as the Joker and Christian Bale. And that whole series is just amazing. So, Yeah, I'm on the golf course. I'm obviously watching sports, watching movies, and that's kind of my outside world a little bit.
All right. It's the question that everybody's got to answer this week. Okay. We look at the final four field as we have it right now. UConn, Miami, Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. How's your bracket looking? And who do you have coming out and hoisting that trophy on Monday night next week?
Well, our bracket that we did in the office, obviously for fun, was not too good. My women's side is actually doing pretty good, but I do not have a single team in the Final Four. I rolled with the Purdue Boilermakers to win it all, and they I knew it was a bad decision the minute I put them down. But for who wins it all, I mean, let's go with the Owls. The Owls came here, played us. Looked very good when they played us, and you know, looks like they got a good team. And let's go with the Cinderella, Florida Atlantic, to win it all.
Well, Florida Atlantic played here earlier in the season. A lot of people may remember that Brian Dutcher, the head coach at San Diego State, his father was the head coach here at Eastern Michigan in the late 60s, early 70s. So some Eastern Michigan connections and a good Eastern Michigan connection right here. Nick, appreciate your time on the Eastern Insider. Give a little bit of light to compliance. Real quick before we let you go, last one, and I like to ask this, but we've never gotten to ask it for compliance. If somebody listens to this, or if somebody's in college, kind of like you were, and they've never really heard of compliance, they don't know what it's all about. Maybe they do now, and they might be interested in figuring out how to get more involved with compliance. How do you go about that? What's the best way to get involved and maybe get to the spot that you're in now?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's through your sport management professors or yourself, you know, we have interns. That's how I started. I was an intern 2 years at Central. I was an intern 1 year at Eastern while I was getting my master's. And it's a great way to start. So I'd say anybody that's interested in compliance, reach out to the compliance person at your school, or maybe some professors that will be able to help you assist and see, you know, if you can sit down and maybe, you know, start to learn the ins and outs of compliance in an internship.
Well, let me tell you, I know that I speak for Nick when I tell you they're always looking for people to get involved and learn more about it. And you just heard him say it. He was an intern and an undergraduate at Central Michigan, and he's made it to a director spot. So just imagine how far you can get if you're listening at home. Nick Smith, Director of Compliance at Eastern Michigan. I'm going to take a quick time out. When we come back, Greg and I wrap this episode here on the Eastern Insider Podcast.
This has been another edition of the Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts for all of our episodes on demand.